We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Lord, in Jesus' name, don't let them go without, Lord. I know you will not do that. I know you will meet every need, Father. We thank you for it. All good things come from you, and we just surrender it all back to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone said, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, let's clap our hands to the Lord. We got a brand new sermon series coming up in like just 10 seconds, basically. It's called Afterlife. But before we kick that off, I'd like to just sing a song about heaven. Could you just stand on your feet? Yeah, and clap your hands together. Oh, when the saints go marching in. You may be seated. Thank you for singing along with me. Welcome everybody to Redemption Church. Are you having a good day today? Man, I'm having a good day today. You know why? I have been married for 12 years today. She has put up with me for 12 years. How many knows the Lord's good right there? Excellent. My wife, Sarah, I couldn't do life without you. You are absolutely a gift from God, and I'm so thankful for you. I love you so much. There is an afterlife. There absolutely is. We just sang about it somewhat, that song about when the saints go marching in. Where are they marching in? They are marching in to heaven, and I want to be in that number. I want to tell you that there is an afterlife, and everyone thinks about it. Everyone thinks about it. Christians and non-Christians alike have always asked this question. What happens after? What happens after? Am I right? Everybody asks that question. Mankind has always asked this question. We are all assured of death. Death is like 100% other than Jesus, but even he died. Death is 100%, y'all. We're always wondering what comes after. Mankind has come up with different answers to the question. I don't believe all these answers, but here's one of them. Some believe in reincarnation. That if you lived a good life, next life you'll be a little better of a thing. Right? Maybe you won't be a human, you'll be a dolphin. It's better, I think. Maybe. Or maybe you'll be worse. In the next life, you'll come back, you'll be a politician. And you just, I couldn't resist it. I couldn't. Some believe in that. That's called reincarnation, and you're just constantly getting born again, but not the Christian born again. Some believe that your spirit goes into another plane of existence, that somehow you are energy, Taria, and you just transfer into a new form of energy somewhere else. Some people believe that. Woo, little sci-fi weirdness to me, all right? But even belief systems that don't believe in the supernatural afterlife are focused on a natural afterlife. Take this biodegradable urn for example right there. This is an ad for just a few thousand dollars. You can become a tree. What kind of tree would you like to become? Basically, they've got a big egg-shaped urn. It looks like a big egg. I'm not even kidding. Which came first, the chicken or the egg? I don't know. But they've got an egg, and for just several thousand dollars, you can take your cremated ashes and put them in this biodegradable urn, and then you could turn into a mimosa tree or a magnolia tree or a pecan tree or a hackberry. Bad choice. Can't stand hackberries. But here's the point right here. This is probably someone that's an atheist came up with this idea, right? Even if you don't believe your soul or spirit might go on, you are still thinking about what comes after for you. And you're focused on a physical afterlife. Whoa, what's going to happen to my ashes? Maybe my ashes could go on to save the planet and provide clean air for other people. What am I trying to tell you? Everybody is asking this question. What comes after? What happens after? Everybody is thinking about the afterlife. As a Christian, what happens after? When I asked that question just right there, probably two words came into your head. One of them was heaven, and the other one was hell. Am I wrong there? Somebody say amen so I know I'm pretty close, right? Right. When as a Christian, you think about the afterlife, you think of heaven or you think of hell. If you did think of those two words, and only those two words, then I'm telling you that this sermon series is perfect for you. You were made for this sermon series, because here's the major idea of this entire sermon series in one sentence. Here it is. The afterlife is a lot more than just heaven and hell. The afterlife is a lot more than just heaven and hell. This series is not meant to scare us. Sometimes preaching on eternity can get a little heavy, right? A little scary, right? Yeah. It's not meant to scare us, but it is meant to lead us. It's meant to educate us. It's meant to give us hope. Over the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about the rapture today. Next week, talking about the tribulation. On, we're going to be talking about the millennial kingdom. We're going to be talking about the judgment seat of Christ, the white throne judgment, the second coming of Christ, the second resurrection, and heaven and hell. I want you to be for every week of this series. Every week of this series, I'd like you to be here. I know life gets busy. Just make it a part of your plan. I'm going to be here for every week of this series because it's really important that I know what comes after. I'm telling you, because there's an after, it builds your faith for today and tomorrow. If you're having faith issues, you need to know that God has a plan past this moment. God has a plan past Calvary. He's got a plan past a millennia from now. He's got a plan, and it's an eternal plan, and it's got you in that plan. I want you to be here for every week of that series. In fact, if you've got questions, we've got an anonymous text line. I would love you to feel free to text our anonymous text line, 214-856-0550. You in the room, you watching online, you podcasters, you go ahead and text us. We will either answer your question in series, on stage, or over the text message. I promise you that. There is a temptation for Christians to kind of put their head in the sand about a lot of things, but especially when it comes to the afterlife, especially when it comes to prophetic teaching. Have you ever been around a Christian that's like, ooh, I don't like to read about Revelation. No, thank you. I've actually known people, if you do a Revelation series, you will not see them for that entire series. Head completely in the sand on that issue. That's teaching on your future. And you would put your head in the sand over that. But it is a thing, all right? I love you if that's you in the room, but I'm going to ask you to resist sticking your head in the sand when it comes to things like Revelation, when it comes to things like your future, when it comes to things like prophetic word of God in Scripture. This subject shouldn't bring you fear, but instead bring you a hope and bring you an intensity. Everyone said intensity. To walk with Christ. The afterlife is a lot more than heaven or hell. Before we dig any further, I want to give you a disclaimer. Here's the disclaimer. Here it is. Number one, people will disagree with it. It's one of my frustrations in life that Christians often disagree on stuff. It will take you no time on Google to find thousands of people that disagree with everything on the internet. All right? Absolutely true. So people will disagree with it. That is okay. If you disagree with it, that is all right. We still love each other, right? Kay, we still love each other? Yes, she smiled. I think she had a mask on. I'm not sure. This is one way of interpreting Scripture. And this is the way I understand it. So I'm going to bring it to you from that. I'm doing my best to understand the Word of God myself and then teach you that. If you have any questions or even disagreements, I'm happy to talk to you about them. We'll get together over coffee. We will talk it out, all right? And then last, I want to tell you that this is not a salvational doctrine. It is not. This is interpreting prophecy that in some cases is purposely shrouded by God. It's purposely made a mystery by the Lord. If we do disagree on some points here, we can still agree on the saving work of Jesus Christ on the cross. That, my friends, is salvational. And everyone said amen on that. That is salvational, what Jesus did on the cross. Yeah, we're big fans of what Jesus did on the cross, y'all. All right, excellent. Over our study, we're going to be building a timeline. I don't have a timeline for you today, but if I did, it would just have a big arrow on it. Because we're talking about the rapture today. That arrow would be pointing straight up. I want to tell you there's a lot more than just heaven and hell going to show up on this timeline. These things all take place in our future. As I'm speaking to you now, they have not yet occurred. So let's start with this, the rapture. What is it? What is the rapture? The rapture is a teaching where believers will rise from this earth to meet Jesus in the air. Raise your hand if you've heard of the rapture. All right. Excellent. I believe in the rapture. I believe in it. The rapture is an important teaching, but the word rapture doesn't actually appear in your Bible. It doesn't appear in your Bible. And that should give us pause, right? That should. Because if it is going to be a belief, it should actually be in the Bible. Okay, we got to look through our Bible and don't just listen to a doctrine and go, oh, well, that sounds good. No, it has to make sense. It has to fit with God's plan. And if it fits with God's plan, it's going to be in the Word of God. But let me explain to you. The word rapture is an anglicized word that comes from the Latin word rapare, which means seize, snatch, to grab, to take away. That's what the word means. It is a Latin word. Everyone said Latin word? That we have anglicized from rapare to rapture. And it means to seize, snatch, to grab, to take away. There is a moment prophesied in Scripture when God will rapare, will seize, take away his people, and his followers will be caught up. Let's look at such verse. It's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning at verse 16. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first, verse 17, after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. Who believes the word of God? You believe the word of God today. Although the word rapture is not written in your English Bible translation, the word rapare can be found in the Latin Vulgate translation. The Bible, the New Testament's originally written in Greek. Centuries later, someone translates it into a language other than Greek and Hebrew, and it is translated into Latin. And that's where we have the word rapare. And so when we are saying the word rapture, we're actually linking up with that Latin word. And it's unchanged. It's not changing the meaning whatsoever, but that's where we get the word rapture. And that's also why it doesn't appear in your English translation of the Bible. But more importantly, the doctrine is there in any translation of the Bible. Translated in any language, the doctrine of a snatching, of a seizing, of a grabbing, of a catching away is in your Bible. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
We just read it. That they will be caught up. If we said it in Latin, we'd say rapare. There will be a rapture. It is the keeping of a promise Jesus made to his disciples. How many know that Jesus keeps his promises? He made a promise to his disciples, John 14 and 3. If I go, and he did go, and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. So Jesus says, if I go, I'm going to come back and take you to where I am. Does that sound like the rapture? Does that sound like a catching away? Does it sound like Jesus is going to come down and see somebody and take them to where Jesus is? Jesus himself will come for us. Matthew 24 and 30 says, at that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the nations of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call. And they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the others. There is going to be a time where Jesus appears on clouds and every eye sees him. And he is going to gather his elect from all over the world. Jesus coming on the clouds was also prophesied in the Old Testament by the prophet Daniel in Daniel chapter 7, verse 13. In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. We're talking about Jesus, y'all. All peoples, nations, and every man of every language worshiped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. This Jesus, who has all power and glory and dominion, is going to be seen by every nation, every person. He's going to come on clouds, and he is going to call us to him. Is anybody glad about it today? Jesus ascended into the clouds, doesn't he? This is what we call the ascension. And he will return the same way. We read about it in Acts chapter 1, verse 9. After he said this, Jesus was taken up before their eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside him. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? Catch this same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. The same way he left, it's the same way he is going to return. That is Jesus. That is knowledge that is right there in the Word of God. We've got to know it. And not only that, if you know it, it is on you to celebrate it. It is on you to have your hope in it. It is on you when the whole world is going crazy. You ought to stand on the Word of God. The Bible says to encourage one another with these words that Jesus Christ is coming back. The rapture. The rapture. Oh, but I've heard about the rapture all my life. Like that, some people say that, like that's an excuse not to be excited anymore. Praise God that you heard about it. There are too many that haven't heard about it. There are too many that don't understand it. And there are too many that have heard about it, but they aren't living on the truth of it. We need to live in the truth that Jesus Christ is coming the exact way that he left. The rapture. What is it? Well, it's an event where believers will rise from the earth to meet Jesus in the air. That is pretty clear. And if you disagree with that, you are disagreeing with Scripture. It says we will meet him in the air. And I take it literally. And I hope you do too. The rapture. When is it? When is the rapture? Now that's the question everybody loves to ask, right? When is the rapture? We long to know when Jesus is going to catch us away, don't we? Yes, I wish I could put it on my calendar because I don't want to miss that. His people are going to be caught away by him. When is that going to happen? There are those that have tried to predict the day of his coming. Has anyone ever heard of someone say, well, on this day, he's going to come back? Yep. They have all been wrong. Everyone said wrong. Just roll your R's. Roll your R because the same person sometimes is wrong multiple times in a row. And people still, oh my goodness, I forgot to carry the one. Not this Tuesday, next Thursday. My math was wrong. Like literally, there have been people that have said, Jesus is coming back on this day, and so let's all go to the nearest mountain and let's get under a tent and we're going to sing until the moment he comes because some preacher has uttered that he's coming back on that time. And so they all come to the tent and they're all there and they sing and everybody's all so excited because the time's coming. Everybody's got to watch. And it's like, man, oh, what time? Look at Jesus is late. Jesus is late. And then they're like, maybe it's not Central Standard Time. Maybe what time is it right now in Israel? And then slowly but surely people get up and they leave. And the sad thing is their faith goes straight down. Their faith dwindles because someone, either on purpose or mistakenly or whatever reason, somebody misled them and told them that they knew the day and the hour that Christ would return. Somebody help me. What did they do wrong? They didn't read their Bible. That's what's so crazy. They read their Bible to go, oh, the secret is this. Yes. And but they forgot this verse, Matthew chapter 24, verse 36. No one knows. No one knows, it says in the NIV. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. But about that day or hour, no one knows. Can you say those words with me? No one knows. If someone walks up to you and says, Jesus Christ is coming on a certain day, and I know when, and if you give me money or join my church, I'll share with you the secret day that he's coming. You walk away from that person as quick as you can because they are wrong. No one knows. Jesus is even telling you, I don't even know. Jesus didn't know the day of his returning. Only the Father knows. in heaven. That's what it says. That's what it says. I was in Dollar Tree. I was visiting Alex. Thank you, sir. It was the 99-cent store. Yes, he's worked at a lot of dollar areas. Alex, I was visiting Alex. Let's give Alex a hand. And I went into to the 99-cent store. Gonna buy Sarah something real nice for our anniversary. The 99-cent store. And I'm at the 99-cent store. I've got my kid with me. And this lady just is like hovering around me. And she's like, she looks over at me, goes, "Do you want to know the day that Jesus Christ is going to return?" And I'm like, "What?" I'm like, "He is coming in 2019, May. And we know the day." And you, and I'm like, "Lady, who has told you this? Who has told you this?" And she got, I'm like, "Can I show you a scripture in the Bible?" And she said, "No, you cannot." And she got angry at me, and I couldn't get her off me for a while. She's hovering around me. But now suddenly I want to show her the Word of God. I want to try to save her from this delusion. I want to kind of keep her faith intact when this disappointment came. She didn't want to hear the Word of God. We got to hear the Word of God. This is not a fairy tale. It is the Word of God, and it's true. Every word of it is true, and no one knows the day or the hour. You see, if someone knew the day or the hour, someone could use that for power and influence, couldn't they? And what do you know? People have absolutely tried to do that. My goodness, the Watchtower. There's the religious group with the Watchtower. And that thing, it's Jehovah's Witness group. That thing absolutely several times predicted the return of Jesus Christ. And they are still misleading people today because they will tell you that Jesus is not God. And I'm telling you, that's false. And I usually don't call people out, but that's false. Jesus Christ is God. And I'm excited to tell you. Not only does it tell them that they shouldn't set that day, but it tells us clearly that Jesus is not an archangel, but he is God come in the flesh. So who knows the day or the hour? No one. Now, let me add to that this truth. We can look at the seasons. Look at the prophecies. And look at the front page of the morning news. And compare such things to know that his coming is drawing near. But we will never know the day or the hour. Look at the next verse, Matthew 24, verse 37. As it was in the days of Noah, so will it be at the coming of the Son of Man. He says, you want to know what it will be like when I come? Look at the days of Noah. The seasons of this world will be just like the seasons of the days of Noah. So what were the days of Noah like? Well, there was great wickedness. It said that there was continual evil in Genesis chapter 6. It said that men just kept inventing new ways to be evil. Does that sound like the world today? How about this? The earth was full of violence in Genesis chapter 6 and 11. Does that sound like the days of Noah or today also? Or is there violence throughout the earth? Yes. So these are things that we can look on. Jesus also tells us about the seasons. He talks about a fig tree and literally compares it to seasons. A farmer will understand when the fig tree should bloom. All of this is in the same chapter. So what am I telling you? I'm telling you, no one knows the day or the hour, but Jesus says we should know something. We should know the seasons. We shouldn't be caught off guard if we were just paying attention. Not only is our message that Jesus is coming, I want to tell you, that's been the church's message forever. Forever. It was the message in Acts chapter 2, the first time they preached. Save yourself from this untoward generation. Jesus is going to come back. You better save yourself. Right there. Our message is not only that Jesus is coming, but that Jesus is coming quickly. Revelation 22 and 12 says this, "Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I'm telling you, our message has always been that Jesus is coming. And when he comes, it's not going to be a slow affair. It is going to be quick. When is the rapture? Well, that's a complicated question, right? Sure is. We don't know the day or the hour. We can look at the signs, seasons, scriptural prophecy. So we're really asking, where is the rapture in relation to all the other things in prophecy? And that brings us to a major happening called the tribulation. Everyone said the tribulation? The tribulation, it is an end time event that we will talk about next week. Today, I want you to understand this. The importance of the rapture is not when it happens, but being ready for when it happens. Most of the teaching on the rapture is not about when it happens, but to be ready for when it happens. End time prophecy is shrouded in secrecy. All has not been completely revealed. Can I get an amen? You don't believe me? I invite you to read Revelation and explain it all to me. Please, go right ahead. No, some of that is shrouded in secrecy. And I'm like, well, let's see. This could either be one of 12 things. I've got 12 theories. Like that's where I'm at in several portions of Revelation. Don't feel bad if you're there. I'm living there. I drive Sarah crazy with it. But not at all has been completely revealed. God shrouds some things in secrecy. Why God do that? Look at somebody and say, why God do that? Why do you think God does that? God, what is that about? Why not just tell me? I would really like to know. I want to tell you, I want to give you an answer to that. Because it is not clearly understood, every generation of the church age has lived thinking that Christ's return is soon. And some people would view that as a weakness in the gospel. I'm telling you that it's a strength. Because we were always supposed to be living like he was coming today. And I want to tell you that God has purposely designed his word to shroud it from your complete understanding. So that literally Paul lived believing he was coming today. And today we're living like he's coming today because that was always his plan. That's what is always good for us. Do you understand that on the first day of the church, nearly 2,000 years ago, Peter got up and started preaching and he says these words, in the last days proclaimed by the prophet Joel. He pointed at what God was doing right there and said, these are the last days. Are we living in the last days? According to Peter, yes. According to the prophet Joel, yes. According to the word of God, we have been living in the last days for 2,000 years. That is not a weakness. That is a strength of the church. I'm telling you, the church needs to get back to that strength because the church has grown complacent with teaching on the rapture. Because we've heard it so much, we've gone, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You get ready. You live ready because the rapture will take place and you need to live like it's going to happen today. Today. I want to tell you that this is a part of God's design. You not knowing when it is. God wants a church that is looking for his return and anxious for his return. Can I tell you, church, I love you guys so much. Y'all are so bought into Redemption Church. I love it. Y'all would love a building, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you love a church building? Wouldn't that be awesome to have a church building and fill it up? Wouldn't it be great to have some property and like build some houses on the back of it for homeless people to get on their feet? Wouldn't that be great? We have all these visions. Wouldn't it be really awesome to reach all of Plano? Wouldn't it be great? As awesome as that is. That should never be our focus. Our focus is that Jesus Christ is coming back. In fact, we need to do what we got to do quickly because he's coming back quickly. This is how we need to think. I need you to think that way. I need you to have that kind of urgency and that kind of intensity in you. What we're doing in this children's ministry is intensely important right now. We're about to open up this altar. It's intently important that we get close to Jesus right now. My goodness. What is the rapture? When is the rapture? Who is the rapture for? Let's look at a verse. It's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command and the voice of the archangel and the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So will we be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another, each other, with these words. Real quick, the rapture is for the dead and for the living in Christ. If you are dead but in Christ, the rapture is for you. If you are alive but in Christ, the rapture is for you. Who is the rapture for? It is for those in Christ. Anybody in Christ? Let's go a little further. The rapture is for the bride of Christ. That is the church. The rapture is for the church of Jesus Christ. Scripture reveals the church. What is the church? The church is the people of Christ. The people of Christ. That is who the church is. Scripture reveals the church to be that bride of Christ, the wife of the Lamb, as Revelation says it. God uses the Jewish marriage tradition to teach us and to point us to a rapture. In the Jewish tradition, the groom would go away to prepare a place for the married couple to dwell. Did you hear that? The groom would go to prepare a place. Did we read that scripture where Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you? He goes and prepares a place for him, the groom, and the bride to be together forever. Do you see how wonderfully that illustrates the rapture? The groom goes away to prepare a place for the married couple to dwell. Then the groom returns, and his return is a surprise. Not only that, the surprise is for the groom himself. No one knew when the groom was going to return, not even the groom. The father of the groom would look at the son and say, now's the time, go get your bride. Is that what Jesus was talking about? 100% it's what Jesus was talking about. So the groom would return to get a surprised bride. And that surprised bride would need to be ready for her groom. Jesus is the groom. Those that love him, his church, they are his bride. Church, we need to be ready for the return of Jesus Christ. So I told you the rapture is for the bride of Christ. Let's make it a little bit more specific. The rapture is for a prepared bride. Say prepared bride. I'm about to share something with you that is not a popular doctrine. It won't take you long to find many people that disagree with it. But I believe it's important, and so I'm going to share it with you, even though it might draw me criticism. It's all right. I've been friends with Vicky a long time. I know all about criticism. Many people, most people, believe that all believers will be taken at the rapture. You might have heard that before. If you've said the sinner's prayer, if you've believed in Jesus, you are ready for the rapture. Okay. So, if that is true, praise God. Absolutely. I hope it's true. I want it to be true. Yes, I want every believer to be caught up when the trumpet sounds to be with Jesus. Absolutely. You aren't catching me rooting against that. But my heart is burdened at a chance of a different outcome. And I want you to listen to it. Please keep an open mind to what I share And as always, check it with Scripture. What if not all believers are raptured? How would you feel if you as a believer weren't raptured, but other people were? How would you feel? Would you actually, you might be mad that no one taught you that such a thing was possible. I would understand that. I would be mad. I would see maybe a lot of people's faith even shaken if that happened and they weren't told ahead of time that it could happen. So remember this. I don't want you to be on that day. But listen, would you be wondering why you weren't taken, why someone else was taken? The more I study Scripture, the more I think that this could be possible, because I think it's possible, I want to bring it to your attention. And that's what I'm doing today. Revelation 19 and 7 says, the bride has made herself ready. The bride has made herself what?
Ready.
A bride that is prepared. A bride that has made herself ready for the groom. I want to tell you today, I present to you today, that that is specifically who the rapture is for. A bride, just like in the Jewish tradition, who was prepared for a groom to show up. In fact, the whole groom party would actually blow a horn to announce their arrival. That in the middle of the night, she could hear a horn, and she would need to have her things ready. She would need to have a dress without spot or wrinkle. All of these things are scriptural. I want to tell you that Jesus Christ is returning, not just for anybody, but for a prepared bride. A teaching of Jesus in Matthew 25 speaks of five wise and five foolish virgins. And they are five wise, five foolish. They're both virgins. And they are all waiting for the same individual. They're waiting for the groom. You know this story? It's a parable of Jesus. And the foolish virgins run out of something really important. What do they run out of? They run out of oil for their lamp. So they have no light. We could really have a little Bible study here about what the oil represents. The oil is the Holy Spirit. Talk about that. But because they don't have the oil, they were not ready. They realized, oh my gosh, we are not ready to meet the groom. So they run out to buy oil. But while they are running out, those foolish virgins, guess who decides to come at that very moment? The groom shows up. He shows up and there's only five ready. They were the wise. And they had that oil in our lamp. And they went with the groom. The groom came for 10 of them. But only five were ready. Do you see that in Scripture? Jesus is the groom that will return for wise, prepared brides. The parable features two sets of individuals that both want the same groom. They both love the groom. They are both chaste and saving themselves for the groom. But one was not ready. One chapter early, in the same context of teaching, the parable of the wise and foolish servant is taught by Jesus, Matthew 24. And it echoes the same message. One servant was not prepared for the master to return. The wise servant was prepared. And the master returns and takes the prepared servant and brings him deeper into his kingdom. And he puts that servant in charge of the kingdom. Did he take the foolish servant? What made the foolish servant foolish? He was not prepared. What made the foolish virgins foolish? They were not prepared. What made the wise servant wise? He was prepared. What made the wise virgins wise? They were prepared. Jesus is teaching this all together. Before he teaches these two parables, he gives us this verse, Matthew 24 and 44. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. We are told repeatedly to keep watch. Be ready. Be prepared for the coming of the Lord. There are scriptures that basically grab you by your collar and shake you and say, watch ye therefore, you know not the day. In other words, don't fall asleep, but wake up and pay attention. I'm afraid that the church is not doing that. I fear that we think saying a sinner's prayer 20 years ago is enough. In fact, I can't stand that people are told that. Literally, in this Metroplex today, people were led through a sinner's prayer and people looked them in the eye and said, that's all you have to do. You're saved now and forever. And so many of those people walk out the door, not watching, not waiting, not looking, not prepared. But someone told them they were prepared. A fear. We aren't prepared. I'm certain that we think going to church is enough. I'm telling you, going to church is not enough. God's not like, they went to church this week. Oh man, that's a good thing, because if I came back this week, now they'll be prepared. That's not it. That's not it. Don't you dare think that's it. We are to be watching, waiting, hoping for the return of Christ. It would be foolish to not be prepared. Honestly, are we doing that? Are you doing that? Are we raising families that are doing that? Is our ministry doing that? Or do we have a ministry of, I'm okay, you're okay? Matthew 25:13, therefore keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. Luke 21:36, be always on the watch and pray, that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. 1 Thessalonians 5:6. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. Hebrews 9:28. So Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. Revelation 3:3. Remember, therefore, that you what you have received and heard. Obey it and repent. Remember, therefore, what you have received. Is it possible to forget what you have received? Yes, it is. Remember what you have received and heard. Don't just remember it. What does he add to that? Obey it. And this word, repent. My gosh. Church, we need to remember what we have received and heard. We need to obey it. And my God, we need to repent. But if you do not, someone help me, wake up. Is that what it says? But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come to you. Is that good news or bad news? It's bad news if you don't know and you are not ready. If you do not remember, it's bad news. If you do not obey, it's bad news. If you do not repent, it is bad news. Newsflash, who is he talking to here? Jesus is talking to a church. He's talking to a church. He's not talking to the person lost out in the world. He's talking to a church. Church, you got to remember. Church, do you think repentance is something you did once and you don't need to do again? No, remember and obey and repent. My God. Revelation 3 and 10. Since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come upon the whole world to test those who live on the earth. He's speaking again to a church. He says, if you aren't ready, if you don't endure, you will have to go through a problem. Newsflash, that problem is the tribulation. That problem is the tribulation. I believe with all my heart that the problem that you will go through if you miss the rapture is the tribulation. Now, without going through it, because we don't have the time, I want to offer you one little piece of hope and we can talk about it. I'm not saying if you miss the rapture, you are damned to hell. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that even in the tribulation, that you can find Jesus Christ and you can be saved. But the rapture can save you from the tribulation. And I want that. But more importantly, I want to be with Jesus as soon as possible. Oh, heavy in here, quiet in here. Let me ask you this. Do you want to be in the rapture? You answer that with your heart. Do you really want to be in that number when the saints go marching in? I want to tell you, wanting is not enough. The foolish virgins, they wanted the groom. They weren't prepared. The foolish servant, he wanted the master, but he wasn't prepared. Something happened, perhaps that they wanted more, and it distracted them from the thing they were supposed to do. I want to tell you that we need to want Jesus more than any other thing. And if you want Jesus more than any other thing, and you live life like that, I don't see how you could possibly miss his coming. Whatever it takes to be ready for when Jesus comes, I want to tell you, it is worth it. It is worth it. It's worth losing some friends. It's worth turning off the TV for. It's worth time and prayer. It's worth repenting of sin and not doing those things anymore. It is worth it. I want to tell you, if you aren't sure that it's worth it, this altar is for you today. Absolutely, you better come to this altar today. If you aren't sure that you're ready, this altar is for you today. If you feel like you're ready and you're good, this altar is for you today. In fact, we want to pray with you. I want you to want Jesus more than anything. Let's pray about it today. What am I telling you to do? What are some things you need to do? Well, you need to get the sin out of your life. You need to repent. Repent of every sin. All of them. The sin that nobody knows about, repent of it. Get it out of there. Get it out of your life. Be obedient to everything in the Word of God. Be obedient. Get baptized. Go do it. Go down in the water. Go pray. Go read the Word. Put it in your heart. Grow your relationship to the place where Jesus Christ is in every part of your relationship. Grow your relationship to a place where the Spirit starts speaking through you and in you and to you. I've given you a lot to think about today. I know it's a little heavy. I get it. But let me close with something really simple. Paul makes the rapture. He makes heaven. He makes the afterlife really simple. Here it is. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. Not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. I want you to focus laser sharp on those last words. For all, to all who have longed for his appearing. One version says this, to all who love his appearing. There is a rapture coming. And there's a rapture reward that's coming. It's coming to Paul, but not only to him. That reward is coming to all who long for his appearing, who love it when Jesus shows up, that aren't bored with worshiping him, that aren't tired of talking to him in prayer, that aren't tired of hearing his commandments, but they long for more of it. They love it every time he shows up. Paul makes it really simple. You want that reward? You want that rapture? Love it when Jesus shows up. Long for him to show up. Not just for the trumpet sound. Long for him to show up right now in this room. Long for him to show up when you're talking to him and praying. Long for him to show up when you're having a conversation with someone else and that Jesus would just show up right in the middle. I long for you to show up in the flu at home, Lord Jesus. I long for you to show up, God, in my depression and in my sorrow, in my worry and in my shame. Jesus, show up. I long for it. I long for it. I want you to realize it does not say all who are perfect. Put that verse back up. Let's see it. It doesn't say all who are perfect, does it? All who are sinless. But it says all who love, all who long, all who are expecting, all who are waiting for him to show up. You know what this means? It means you can't fake it. You have to actually love Jesus Christ. Will you come today out of love? Will you come talk to the Lord? If you don't feel like coming up here, will you spend some time loving him right where you're sitting? You watching, listening online, spend the next few moments just being in love with Jesus Christ. The coming of Jesus, it's ahead of us. But the crown is available now. Look at the words. What's the first words? Now there is in store for me the crown of right. Do you know when that thing is available? It's available now. The power and the reward of knowing Jesus, it's available now. Now. So why don't you come now? Come on, why don't you pray now? Why don't we lift up song to him now? Why don't we reach out to him now? Father, in Jesus' name, I pray, Lord, that every person...
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.